those that get the most reward fail the most. The sweetest fruit's at the end of the limb, and sometimes you actually got to go there and sometimes you don't get the fruit. So yeah, be prepared to fail as many times as you possibly can.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. This week, my guest is one of my favorite people in the real estate industry and fellow Coastie, by the way. So we're both from the Central Coast. It's Darren Butcher from Wisebury Heritage. So welcome to the show, Darren.
Thanks, Sam. Happy to be here.
It's actually really good to have you here. I think you've got one of the biggest businesses on the Central Coast as well.
Yeah, things go quite a lot.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your business, about Wisebury Heritage.
The business started in 1994. I actually was in the industry a couple of years before, and Dad was in the industry 27 years before. He came to me and said, look, I'm thinking of starting in real estate. He was a non-risk taker. And I said to him, I'd love to be in your team. So we started up. It was me, Dad, and a receptionist. She was the licensee at the time. We had to go and get our licenses, but it was phenomenal. And yeah, it just took off from there. So hard work gets you somewhere.
I think I remember a story that you told me once. I don't know whether it was during Transform a couple of years ago, but you tried to go and work with your dad and he said no initially.
It was his boss, actually. They were old school. It was, you have four salespeople in your office and all those people, the least amount of time that the people had been in the office was 15 years, I think. So they weren't getting rid of anyone soon. And I was desperate to get in. I wanted to do it and challenge myself to it. And his boss said no. So I looked around and couldn't get a job. So I was working in clothing industry and I got approached by somebody who actually was a competitor of my dad's and in a town next door. And he offered me a job and then reneged on it. But then I work experience, got the job and things were good.
Awesome. And so your son now works for the business now too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Toby's in and, he's it's certainly more like his grandfather than myself, which is a great thing because it's all about the people and we're having a great time and he's developing quite quickly.
Because you've been in the industry for 28 years, do people sort of look at Toby and look at you and say, geez, you look like your dad?
Yeah, I think he gets it. He looks like his grandfather too, which is probably unlucky for him, but for us both. But he's got the unfortunate part of being in that family combination and people go, well, you don't do this like your dad or you don't do that. And I used to cop the same thing, but you've just got to find your own lane. And for those who have got family in the industry and they're working with them, it's the best time you can ever have in the world. You can't repeat that. And I loved every minute that I spent with my dad. We had our fights, of course, but I think that the thing is that you get on with and do it, but know that you've got your own lane and you've got to stick in your own lane. You can't be the person that was your father or grandfather and don't even try to be, because if you do, you'll fail.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, actually, because there would be a lot of people in that boat that have come in via a succession sort of plan and people would expect the same thing over again. But times change. Real estate has changed in 20 years for sure. What are some of the big changes you've seen?
Technology is no question is a big one. I think it's gone from being the only people that were great in real estate were the extroverted salespeople to now you can be an introvert, you can have your databasing right, you can have your social media right, and you can work well with that. There's some things that don't change, but the biggest change would be technology. It certainly has changed the game and way it's done. And the expectation on you as an agent, you know, when I first got in the industry, they used to write their appraisal on the back of a card and hand it over to somebody, and that was what they thought it was worth. And then they'd expect them to give them a call. You know, that doesn't happen anymore.
You've got to be much more on top of things, much more proactive.
Yeah, it's a proactive business, not a reactive. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's things been like on the coast for the last 12 months? So we saw a bit of a dip in Sydney. Like, what's your year been like?
Yeah, horrible. In that sense, at the start of the year and the end of the year, absolutely brilliant. So if we could have light and day, that'd be what we'd probably call it. Going back last December, we'd seen the market drop off for a few months. And when I say last December, I'm talking 12 months ago. And then all of a sudden, it just turned horrible. And our market actually ended up dropping in some areas by 25%. It was a monster drop. Sydney talk about 3 to 5%. I've always said when Sydney get the sniffle, we get the flu. So it passed down in big ways, and especially in our cheaper end of our market. There just wasn't buyers and the banks just weren't lending as everyone suffered, but it did have a big effect. coming to the end of the year, October, November, December, just started to be brilliant. And we really flew, and the start of this year is just like it's on fire. So prices have probably gained 5, 10, 15% in some of the areas. So we're right back on target. And I've got a hashtag, proud to be a coastie, and I use it quite a bit. But you really want to check out the coast. It is extremely good value and the rental returns are great. So if you want to buy an investment, come to us and we'll help you out.
There you go. You heard it here first. We'll leave a link in the show notes. So it definitely was a year of two halves last year, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of cycles in your time in real estate. How do you keep the team morale up when things are down?
Teamwork is the most important thing, and we do a lot of things together, and I know a lot of groups do. We have little competitions within. We challenge each other to different bits and pieces. We'll do events and international days and things like that. So it just keeps the vibe in there. I think that the big shock in the industry is when people drop from this exorbitant wage and then all of a sudden they're earning, you know, a third the amount or half the amount, and that really hits them hard. You can see a market change on its way. And I talk to our teams about storing. I think there's abundance in the world. And I also do believe that you've got to put, you know, 10% away of what you earn as a growth account. That's got to help you through the tough times. Also, the way you invest in property. So we spend a lot of time with our team talking about, you know, how we can help them invest and investing with them and looking at that sort of stuff. And I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So you do have a fairly big team around you. You have a general manager that oversees all of your offices, but she's just had a baby, which is wonderful news. So congratulations, Megan, if you happen to be listening. But you still balance being a selling principal with leading the team. How do you go about doing that?
Okay. So firstly, welcome Lara to the world, and congratulations, Megan. Secondly, look, it is about planning, and I get up at 5:30 every morning and I study. I then go over, you know, after I've done some study, I go over some notes, then go for a walk with Renee, where we rehash what's going to happen in our family, in our life, in our day, and everything that's going there, her plans, my plans, and everything in between. And so she's probably a lot of my balance. I then have set schedules in my diary where I've forward planned who I've got and what times they've got, and I have slots for everything. So it might be one-on-ones with staff. It could be meetings. It could be a listing appointment, seller visits. It could be anything like that. So just being very, very planned and structured, I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got on the agenda for you the leadership diaries today, Darren, because I think some of your insights in leadership will be quite useful to aspiring leaders out there with all of your experience. And I know you haven't seen these questions yet, but are you willing to take the dive?
Yeah, go for your life.
Okay. What is the most important thing you're working on right now and how you're making that happen?
Customer love program is the thing that we're working on that's absolutely essential. So I've been chasing a guy to work for me for the last 25 years. He's a mate of mine from school, really clever guy, but very, very much heart person, really cares about people and the community. And so I've wanted him on board. I think that we drifted away a lot from the after sales side of service and repeat clients, community, even though we were very much ingrained and we still are, we need to be even more thorough. You know, we're doing anywhere between 400 and 700 sales a year and 400 in bad times, you know, 700 plus in good times. And I think we need those clients to be coming back. So our goal this year is to be Australia's best at retaining clients. We're working forward with a project manager in that area to see what we can do to tailor different parts of our business all the way through to make it happen.
Amazing. So this person that you're recruiting is from outside the real estate industry.
He is, yeah, totally, totally. I needed someone that looked at it totally different to how everything else does.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that he can see with open eyes some things that we're strong at and some things that we're weak at, strengthen the strong things and really discipline us in the weak things.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so you just did say a minute ago what the first hour of your day looks like. Are you a 5 a.m. clubber?
No, 5:30.
5:30.
I know, it's so good in bed though. I actually found that I could go to about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night if I actually got up at 5:30. And when I was getting up at 5, I was going to bed around 10-ish. And I just couldn't get enough in. So,
yeah, it's important to get your sleep.
Yeah, a little bit.
Can you name someone that has had a tremendous impact on you as a leader?
Yeah, Thomas Leo Wang is the head of Wisebury, the networking group. Leadership-wise, I wouldn't be the person I am without that. So he's been amazing in where he takes us and my head and where we can go from. And of course, my father is the other one. So I'd have two, Sam. I know I just added another one, but Dad is my rock. He is everything. And he's the reason why I work. I just want to make him proud. And and hopefully, you know, in what we do, we do.
Yeah, amazing, and I'm sure you do. What was one of the biggest lessons that your father taught you early on?
Resilience. You know, he used to say the difference between good and great is how quickly you get back up after you've had a tragedy. I remember I had 14 deals going together and they were a domino effect. So, you know, one affected the next and affected the next. And the first one fell over and it was like my heart had been ripped out. And I know it was hurting him as well because it was early when we'd started our heritage team. But he just smiled and he said, hey, listen, you've got 14 very saleable properties and you've got 14 buyers as well. You know, get on with it and move forward. And out of that, we ended up selling 12 of the 14 anyway, eventually, and things like that. So, but the way you got back up and you just kept doing it, it's still my motto today.
And what about from Thomas? I've met him. He's a really interesting guy. What would you say the biggest thing he's taught you is?
His is about the people that you surround yourself and the books that you read are going to be the two things that actually get you the furthest. So I know a lot of people talk about that. But, you know, driving to look to the inner soul of a person rather than looking at just a holistic business, I think a lot of businesses run off dollars. And if you do that, you're just not going to have anything. You've got to be caring for your people deeper than just that part. So I think taking it away from dollars and making it people, and I think that's what he does really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do great ideas in your business come from and what's a recent great idea that you've implemented?
Everybody in my team is an innovator and the ideas come from them. I do a lot of one-on-ones, so I'm able to hear what they've got to say and where they feel the industry's going or heading. As with a great idea that we've implemented, I suppose we've just launched a Coasties property preview, so everyone gets a sneak preview at what's hitting the market that actually is buying through us if they're a current client. So they see everything, where I found that putting the amount of volume of properties that we actually sell out into the world, it was making life very, very difficult because, you know, if you're on social media, you don't want to see hundreds of properties. But if you're a buyer and you're a legit buyer right now, you want to see those hundreds of properties. So I think that's made a major difference. And that would have probably taken me 6, 8, 12 months to do, but the team got it done in about 2 weeks. So
amazing. Speaking of social media and speaking of technology, when you did Transform With Us a couple of years ago, you came into Transform with the sole purpose of getting better at technology and better at social media. And I remember very proudly watching you doing some live auctions and all of that sort of thing. After Transform, have you kept up the social media and how has that gone for you?
The answer is yes and no. My social media is not as strong as I actually had handed it over a little bit and it's not as strong as what it was. I suppose I experiment a little bit more looking at different angles of social media and the connection points are a lot stronger now, but it's been fantastic for me. Look, what it did was I had a lot of young dynamic team members that were telling me where technology was taking us and I was fighting it very much so. So it made me open my eyes to the vision of technology. And now I'm the one that's in the team saying, hey, have you tried TikTok? Have you done this? Have you done that? You know, so I still meet resistance at different times with different team members and that's good. But it's something that we're really pushing forward with. And look, I can't thank you guys enough for that. Like, I mean, you open my eyes to a whole different world. Still use the camera a lot, videography, and that's a big part of our business. And, you know, doing a lot of talks with seminars and stuff like that. So it really helped me with my public speaking. I had a fear of cameras and Mark and yourself broke that for me.
Yeah, well, that's good because we had the video cameras on you pretty much every day.
Yeah. Look, you know, the difference is I think, Sam, that Mark made me feel comfortable behind the camera and because of that, they'd make me try to rote learn stuff and it just wasn't working. I couldn't stop and break. It was about being natural.
Yep.
And Mark made me feel comfortable to be natural and that I didn't need to have to do camera work that way. And it makes such a difference.
Yeah, when you can just be yourself. By the way, you just made a comment about TikTok, so I'm not going to let that one slide. So what are you guys up to on TikTok?
But we realised that there's a lot of people in Australia that aren't actually using it. And so as a platform that was not hit too much and it gave us a bit of scope. We've got our younger members of our team teaching our older members of our team how to use it. And then what we're trying to do is explore what works and what doesn't, whether it is comedy. We certainly have worked out that it doesn't have to be dance, you know, but it's an awesome medium to actually just edit and film, you know, like edit your camera work. It's easy and simple. And for those who aren't using it, it's probably worth just getting on and having a play and, you know, and looking us up.
I asked my daughter about TikTok and she said, Mum, I can't believe you're asking me about TikTok. So yep. Kind of dropped it for the moment. But
there was 25 million that I actually read a story on in a month. I think that it's 25 million we can't avoid. I think early adoption of things is really, really important and just playing with it and seeing if it does work or it doesn't work. And it shouldn't take up your day. You shouldn't spend your whole day in real estate trying to do a TikTok. It should be stuff that you put in your own time and your own hours afterwards and work from there, because I think it makes an absolutely huge difference. And still keep doing what you're going to do on a day-to-day basis. Don't drop the actions that you've got to try to have something new. But if you can just add a little bit of spice to it, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice. Let's talk recruitment. So what is your favorite question to ask someone in a job interview, and what does the answer tell you about them?
Yeah, it's good because they're probably going to hear this. I have a, do you like Monopoly? It normally stuns them and they try to work out why I ask that question. There's two reasons. For those who don't play it, they'll lie to you. And the other reason is that I've never found a gun salesperson, if it is a salesperson, that doesn't play Monopoly and say that they're the best at it. And in fact, they mightn't have played it for 10 years and that night they get it out and start playing it. And the next time you have another interview, they go, you know what, I played Monopoly the other day after we talked about it. That's how addictive it is. The other thing is it throws them for a spin, so I ask them to sell something to me, which is normally something very, very weird. I won't say, because just in case someone's clever enough to listen to the podcast, but it does send them for a spin, and then all of a sudden they go, well, how's this relate to selling? And if they're fighting it, then you know that they've got no technique of dancing. But for those who get in and have a go, you can see their inner fortitude. Love it.
You've just reminded me, I remember when we made you guys do that listing presentation with John and Monica as Mr. and Mrs. Vendor, your approach to that was completely different to some of the others who just kind of went in with the standard thing. But I remember you went in actually demonstrating how you would negotiate if they signed the agency agreement, which was really, really interesting. Is that something that you teach your guys as well?
Absolutely. We spend a lot of time on training on things that we believe is relevant to the owner in their future. Whether it be negotiation, availability, marketing, excellence, it's all part of it. You know, we want to show them how we actually do it well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, don't tell me you're funny, make me laugh.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What advice would you give someone going into a leadership position for the first time?
Fail often, as many times as you possibly can. I think there's a great book called Failing Forward. You know, what you've got to realize is those that get the most reward fail the most. The sweetest fruits at the end of the limb, and sometimes you actually got to go there and sometimes you don't get the fruit. So yeah, be prepared to fail as many times as you possibly can.
What is the worst advice you've ever heard given to someone starting their career in real estate?
Don't prospect.
Yeah, it's a non-negotiable, right?
I think there's so many definitions of the word prospect now, but you know, everyone's standing up and saying you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that, you don't need to do cold calls, or you don't need to look. The truth is, at the end of the day, the more people you speak to, the more face-to-face you can get. And face-to-face is the key to the business. I still don't get today why people won't learn to fish. And I see people, and this market's starting to move red hot. So you don't need to prospect to actually get business. It'll fall in your lap, really, if you're good at it. But the truth is that if you don't learn to prospect in this market, as the market starts to crap itself and change, then you don't survive. And I watch people go from this ginormous wage where everything fell in their lap, because they're working for a great company and they've got depth and all the rest of it, to not being able to survive in a down market. And I go, that's crazy. There's a saying about, you know, give a person a fish and everyone knows it, you know. And I think we're giving people fish rather than actually teaching them to fish for themselves.
It's almost like letting them out of the nest. Like, you know, like birds push people out of the nest and make them fend for themselves. So, you know,
absolutely.
Unless you learn how to do it, yeah.
I think so many people actually expect that it should come to them, that should be given to them from the principal. And I think good principals will actually do that, and leaders, they'll actually bring the leads to the people. But you should also know that if you really want to create something special, there's going to be an element 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% that you actually should create for yourself as well. And the good people do that.
Yeah, absolutely. What does leadership at home look like?
Oh, Renee's the boss for sure. Look, I've got a very, very quiet wife and she's very reserved, but the truth is at the end of the day, she's the boss. There's no question in my mind. And so I'm quite happy for her to take that more forward role, and I'm a bit more recessive. But look, if there's things that I need done, then I certainly speak up, but it's I know my time and my place there.
Yeah, no, I've met Renee. She's super lovely.
And a silent assassin, Sam, as well.
Yeah, but she also works in the business sometimes too, doesn't she?
She does. Yeah.
And so we've talked about Toby, but you've got three kids. So how do you manage work-life balances as a leader of such a big team and also, you know, maintain a happy family life?
Well, it'll shock a lot of people. I actually work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the business, Thursday, Friday on the business, Saturday, Sunday with the kids. I deviate outside that always for clients and staff, and especially staff. You know, if there's ever anything they need or they need me to pick them up at midnight, I'll be there to do it. But, you know, I think that our family, it is that I've grown up as it's part of our life and our family's done exactly the same thing. I try to always be at any event the kids actually have. It's really, really important. But time is something that they compromise on sometimes, because I might have a late appointment that I do at 8 o'clock at night, or there could be a Saturday thing that I need to be at and open specifically for an owner, or it could be that one of our staff members, you know, need help moving on a Sunday. So if it's needed, then we'll be there. And most of the time our family goes if something's to do with a team member needing something.
It's a decision. It's just family first.
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely important. I think, you know, after being in the industry so long, family is at the end of the day, but family is extended to me. Family includes my staff. It includes their family, you know, so, you know, it's important that that it includes everyone around.
Yeah, absolutely. Darren, I would like to really thank you for spending some time with us on the podcast. There's a lot of people out there that are going to get a lot out of some of your advice. If there was one thing that you would like to leave everyone with, or a piece of closing advice, what would that be?
I'm often asked the difference between good agents and great agents. And I think the difference is two things. They take care, and they care for the people that they work for, and they take more action. 2020 can be anything you want it to be, and I think it's going to be a fabulous year. In fact, I think I wrote in a blog recently that you're basically a king sitting at a table, and you can have whatever you want. You've just got to dream it. You've got to believe it. So I wish everyone good luck in 2020.
Yeah, great advice, Darren Butcher. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Lovely talking to you, Sam. Thanks again.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.